Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. It's Trina Mari here. We are joined by cardiologist Dr. Amit Bakay on the line. You're very welcome to the show. I was only saying recently, I've been seeing an awful lot of stats about women in particular when it comes to their heart and how we're really not looking after ourselves the way we should be. Have you noticed that yourself? You're seeing more women than ever before.
This is so topical, Trina, and thank you for having me. And as you know, we've just done this Healthspan Plant Sterile survey where we're seeing the disparities still there. And literally, so many women bring their husbands at the age of 50 for an MOT, but don't think about it for themselves. And that's the bizarre thing. You know, it's like, hang on, they'll think about it for their partner, but they won't think they're getting the same risk factors, the same alcohol, cigarettes, stresses, lack of sleep, noise pollution, etc. Dietary choices, the same sedentary lifestyle as their husband. And they won't recognize that they're at equal risk, if not more, because they're the sort of people that will care more, much more. And so they're much more likely to get stress and anxiety. They'll put that chest discomfort down to stress.
Right. So you might explain to us the signs to look out for when it comes to your heart. I know in the movies we think that it's somebody, you know, clutching their heart, dropping to the ground, and that's a heart attack and that's the end. How do the symptoms present themselves? Is it any different for women than it is for men?
Absolutely right, Trina. And that's another awareness that we have to raise, that actually sometimes it's just that discomfort that people put down to, oh, that's indigestion, and they're nauseous with it and they're sweating, but actually their heart is racing or missing a beat. Now, the traditional one for men is it's like a bear hugging me or somebody sitting on my chest and strangling them in the neck or going down the arm. But for women, it can be this unusual breathlessness that's happened with a chest discomfort that says, hey, something's trying to press on the inside. Maybe it's indigestion, or maybe I've overdone it, or maybe I'm worried about somebody. Actually, no, if it's with nausea and you're getting that fast heartbeat, getting that irregular heart, and you're getting breathless with it, I want you to take that seriously. And if you feel the need to sit down because you're feeling lightheaded, because, hey, suddenly the wind has gone out from your sails and your legs are getting either heavy or you're just not getting the energy there, this wave of tiredness hits you, then again, I want you to think about, could that be your heart not being able to sustain its blood pressure? And actually, that's a sign of a heart attack. Do you know if you're at risk of heart attacks? Because the risk factors there, your family genetics will tell you what age that your parents got problems or your older brother and sister got problems, etc. So I want that pre-awareness to think, I need to get an ECG.
Would a tightness with the bra, would that maybe be a sign, or is that possibly a you know, when you'd get to indigestion, you might feel your bra's a bit tighter?
And that's exactly right. It's exactly those sorts of things. Oh, I'll just loosen my bra, or I'll take an indigestion medication and wait it out and see if it goes away, or I'll rest for a little while. And those are the things I worry about. And in fact, so many women say, gosh, it wasn't until the fifth or sixth time over the last few weeks that I took this seriously. And I saw you, and then we found, actually, you know, you've had coronary artery disease. I'm glad you came. Nothing happened to you the first five times. But that chest discomfort, if it's still there beyond 15 minutes, I want you to think about, should I be having an ECG? Should I call the ambulance? Should I get a paramedic to evaluate me? Should I make sure it's not a heart attack before I put it down to something else? Women often know their bodies really well. They know when something is new and different.
Yes. I think sometimes when women are slim, they think they're not at risk of heart attack, but it's not necessarily about being slim or, you know, being the perfect weight on the scales.
That's exactly right. A lot of women don't know that alcohol leads to high blood pressure, that stress leads, chronic stress leads to increased risk of heart attacks, migraines, increased risk of heart attack. If you've had diabetes or high blood pressure during your pregnancy, that leads to increased heart attacks. If you've been menopausal for a couple of years, you've suddenly, your cholesterol and blood pressure is starting to go up now, and you're starting to catch up with men in terms of your cardiovascular risk factors. Disturbed sleep at night or sleep apnea, bad snoring, any of these things will increase your risk. And if your immunity has been challenged, if you're getting recurrent chest infections, commonest time after pneumonia is the first month to get a heart attack or a stroke. So watch out for that recovery period after a bad chest infection.
Oh, wow.
But those are the things that we won't always be aware of.
I read an article recently, a lady who spoke about her experience of having a heart attack, which just came completely out of the blue. I mean, yes, you normally don't get a letter in the post saying you're going to have a heart attack this Tuesday, but she was saying how she was sitting on her couch watching the TV, no prior exertion, no emotional trauma, just sitting there enjoying watching television, and she had this almost kind of like the indigestion pain. She was eating something and it was like she'd swallowed a golf ball is how she described it, and it was like a squeezing motion up the spine.
Exactly. Exactly right. That's and you see, that's not typical of the man going, I've got this heavy pressure in my chest, I'm going to call an ambulance, right?
Yeah.
But it's that sort of, it won't go away, this indigestion, this knotted feeling inside my gut. And if it came with the nausea and a bit of sweating, then absolutely. What would be really interesting to know is, does she know her cholesterol levels? You know, has she had a recent chest infection in the couple of weeks before? Is that what might have triggered this off? Mm-hmm. Was she worrying about other people and not sleeping as well recently? So there'll be little signs, telltale signs and risk factors that would have triggered that. But I'm so glad she took it seriously.
Yeah. If somebody experienced these symptoms while they were alone in their home, what steps can they take?
If they feel they're about to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't hesitate. Please don't hesitate. If it's there for 15 minutes, you're really worried about it. It is new. You know, we would much rather do an ECG on you and know exactly what's going on and get you in the right place just in case it's a heart attack and we need to open up the arteries in your heart to protect that muscle downstream.
Mm.
What we worry about is somebody says, oh God, you know, well, it lasted a couple of hours last night. I didn't want to bother anyone, but it came back in the morning. And so now I'm coming to the GP the slow way. And then the GP goes, oh, why didn't you call an ambulance? I'm going to call an ambulance for you.
So you go in anyway.
After the chest pain.
Yeah.
We're now detecting your heart attack 8 hours late when we could have saved some of that muscle that's been dying over those last 8 hours.
So is it possible to have a heart attack and not know that you've had one?
Yes, in particular, people who have diabetes. So just as they're numb in your feet, you might get neuropathy in your hands and feet. You often don't feel the signs of chest discomfort. The pain fibers are affected in your body. And also your blood pressure control is not as good. So, you're likely to get sort of dizziness as you get up and, you know, your heart has become weakened. You've got swollen legs. So you may not know that you've had a heart attack until the signs of that heart weakness present themselves. Swollen legs, new onset breathlessness, new onset tiredness, inability to feel energized anymore.
You mentioned about calling an ambulance if you feel, you know, there's no point in waiting around, just call the ambulance. I'm assuming it sounds very obvious to do this, but doing things like unbolting the front door, should you take any medication to, you know, or should you lie in a certain position, or is there any other things that you should do?
We're very blessed in London, for example, in certain places, in large cities, the ambulance crew usually will arrive within about 10 to 15 minutes. So it's very quick. But if you're living somewhere where you're quite far away, then having access to aspirin, we usually say 300 milligrams of aspirin is going to be likely. You know, people should always keep that available. So that's one way to think about. But that's if you're living quite a long way away, and it's going to take half an hour to an hour for an ambulance crew to get to you. Normally, when you say it's chest pain and a heart attack, you know, things are triggered very fast. And we're quite blessed that in this country, 90% of people have their arteries opened up, if necessary, with a balloon in their arteries within 90 minutes, providing they've dialed 999, etc. Now, the prevention side, so the awareness is there, the data is there, and we know that there's a whole shift from going from trying to prevent people coming into hospital by doing things in the community and also trying not to wait for the heart attack, doing a lot of things upstream. So we might want to talk about, hey, what are the ways that we could actually be looking after ourselves so we don't get to that point?
I also saw something else. And again, these are social media posts. You don't know whether to take them with a pinch of salt or whether there's any truth in them. And it mentioned about if you are alone in the house and like that, say you're, you know, living a good bit away from a hospital and it might take time to get there, that coughing can help with the flow of blood or something like that. It might help you if you are having a heart attack and you're by yourself. Any truth in that?
That's an interesting one. It's been going around for many years, that sort of sign. And what that's about is it's saying that if your heart attack has led to you having a very slow heart rhythm, then you can almost force yourself to give your heart a nudge through coughing with the diaphragm to then speed the heart up. So if you cough at a fast enough rate, you'll get 30 to 40 heartbeats per minute. But that's very unusual that you would have a heart attack that slowed your heart rate down. You're almost using that cough as like a little pacemaker. Now, generally, when most traditional heart attacks won't need that coughing, won't respond to that, you won't have reached the point where that right-hand artery is stopping your rhythm of your heart to the level where you're suddenly about to pass out. But in that rare circumstance where it is, gosh, I've got no pulse. My pulse, I can only feel a pulse every 20 seconds. What's going on? If you cough and you suddenly feel a better pulse during the cough, then of course, while you're waiting, you're going to reach for things like that. But nine out of 10 times, you won't need to do that. Okay. It's going to be a rare situation.
Do you know what I've noticed as well around my area, even in the estate where I live, on the wall, defibrillators? We're seeing so much more of them around the place, aren't we? Thankfully.
Yes, absolutely right. And that is really important because still one in four presentations of a heart attack will lead to the person collapsing. And if you can get that defibrillator to them within the first couple of minutes, put it on. If they've gone into that fast heart rhythm ventricular fibrillation, the machine will detect it. The algorithms are really good. It will say, stand, analyzing ECG, stand back, shock advised. Charging, please press the button for shocking, making sure everyone's standing clear when that shock happens. So they are making a difference. So access to them is really a good thing. So any devices where there's a lot of people around, we're seeing these defibrillators. So knowing where it is and having the app that tells you where's your nearest defibrillator. There are apps now that will tell you, hey, it's been registered that there's one at your tennis club or one at your rugby club, et cetera. So all of those things are improving our awareness and our ability to, in the heat of fire, being able to reach out to the resources.
It's great. I could tell you three different defibrillators within a 2-minute walk of my house, which is super, absolutely super. Finally,
really
I need
but
to
your
ask...
Your awareness of that is really good, Trina. that's the important thing. You're aware of this thing, not only for yourself, but for others, right?
And I kind of tell people, I said, did you see that there's a defibrillator there now? If it's a new one that's gone in. I do want to ask you before you leave us about your life as a cardiologist. Can you have a normal life or are you always getting called away in emergency situations? I mean, is there such a thing as going to the cinema or going for a meal?
It is a vocation, but you're right. It's a much more rewarding life. So you don't even realize that you've just put in 14 hours because you're doing clinics or ward rounds or procedures. You're doing research, you're giving talks, you're sharing your knowledge. Even when you go on holiday, you're thinking, okay, somebody please don't ask, is there a doctor on the plane, et cetera, because you're going to have to step in and help out the blackout person, et cetera.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's a feeling that wherever you are, you could make a difference to that group in that location. I just went on a journey doing Kilimanjaro, and they were really blessed to feel that they've got a doctor there. And with another journey where we did 3,000 kilometers across India by using a rickshaw with 108 people, and I had to be the chief medic.
You're being used. They don't want to go on holiday with you. They just want you there because you're a cardiologist. Have you had to step in actually ever on a plane or anything like that?
Yes, there's the usual type of people. Unfortunately, they've drunk too much. They're tired. They've been stressed about the flight. Their blood pressure's dropped and they've collapsed. We need to make sure it's not a heart attack, that it's often low blood pressure, or they've overdone, or they've been sedentary for 6 hours on the flight, they haven't mobilized, there could be a clot in the lungs, etc. So that's not uncommon at all, especially with the larger planes. You've got 300-400 people, and you can see that generally the population is becoming more and more overweight, more and more sedentary, and so they're becoming more and more at risk of clots and heart attacks and strokes, and they need to take that lifestyle activity seriously about making better choices of getting their weight down and getting their diets on track and so forth, and even having that MOT and checking.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Dr. Bakai. Thank you very much. Cardiologist, I'm sure you're very busy there, so we'll let you get back to it. And it's great to get some advice on and to make women more aware of their health and their heart health as well, because like you said at the beginning, we all worry about the husbands and the brothers and the dads, and we're bringing them along to get their checkups and that, and we neglect ourselves almost, So it's been great getting that information today and knowing the signs as well.
Thank you, Trina, and thank you to Healthspan for doing the survey to look into this area.
Thanks so much. It's Ireland's Classic Kids Radio.
Take care.